Hey there, you're listening to Leadership Unleashed with your host, Todd Bishop, where we unleash the leader in you. If you enjoyed today's teaching, like, subscribe, and share. If you would like to give feedback, email todd@toddbishop.tv. Let's grow to the next level.
Well, welcome to this month's episode of Leadership Unleashed. I'm your host, Todd Bishop, and as always, it is an honor to have you with us for the next 20 or so minutes as we talk about life and leadership, and we unleash the leader that's on the inside of you. Today, I want to talk about a subject that I think is really pivotal for most leaders. It's an often overlooked, it is an undervalued subject that I think actually could drive leaders to become better in whatever context they find themselves, and it's endurance. So today, I want to talk about a leader's endurance. Bible says this in Ephesians 6:18, pray in the Spirit at all times and on all occasions. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Now I understand not everyone that listens to this is a pastor, a leader, someone who works within a church context, but focus on the two words, be persistent. In fact, I could put it into a cheer because I was a cheer lifter in college. Not cheerleader, but cheerlifter. Be persistent. Be persistent. Be persistent. Be persistent. The reality is, I could put almost anything to a cheer. The reality is, a leader's endurance is going to determine their level of capacity, their level of competence. It's going to determine their level of success. It's not just what you go through, it's how you grow through what you go through. Let me say it again. It's not just what you go through, it's how you grow through what you go through. Bible also says this in Luke 21. It says, standing firm, you will win your soul. In other words, you've got to have an endurance level, a factor that just believes I can get through anything that life throws me to. John Wooden, he was the head coach of UCLA basketball team, 10 national titles in the span of 12 years. That's bananas. I mean, he's a legendary coach. Everybody loves to talk about that season of his life. But before his first championship, it took him 15 years to get there. He had to endure 15 years of non-championship status. But those years of foundation built within him a winning legacy that spanned 12 years, 10 national titles. Pretty impressive. John Osteen, original founder of Lakewood Church, brought that church to 6,000 people. I mean, unreal to bring that church back in that day to 6,000 people. It took Lakewood Church, one of the largest churches in America, 12 years to break 250 people. Think about that. 12 years to break 250 people. John and Dodie Osteen had to keep working. They had to endure some difficult seasons, challenging seasons, to get where God designed them to be. There's this guy, Sir James Dyson. Now, he created the bagless vacuum cleaner. The bagless vacuum cleaner. Guess how many prototypes he created in 15 years till he found the one that worked? 5,126 prototypes. James Dyson had to try 5,126 times, or in our world, we would say he failed 5,126 times, but he didn't view it that way. He endured until he found the one that worked. Today, $4.5 billion worth for that business. Unreal endurance. So John Wooden had to endure 15 years without a championship to get to his season of championships. John Osteen had to endure 12 years under 250 people to eventually develop a church of thousands. James Dyson, 5,126 prototypes until he created the one that actually worked and it was worth $4.5 billion. What about Vincent van Gogh? Vincent van Gogh is an interesting story because he only sold one painting while he was alive. It was called The Red Vineyard. Today, any one of his paintings could be worth up to $100 million. Now, reality is, Vincent van Gogh, this is not a failure of endurance on his part. It's just how his legacy has endured, his talent, his capacity, his ability, endured far beyond his life. Now, Catch this with me. This is important. A leader's endurance is not always about length. It's about influence. It's not always, well, that person served there for 20 years. Someone can serve there 2 years or 5 years and have just as much influence or even more than a person that serves behind the scenes for 10 years. Vincent Van Gogh is a great story of that. How about Colonel Sanders? Colonel Sanders is an interesting guy. At 62 years old, he had a $105 Social Security check. He pitched his fried chicken recipe to guess how many people? 1,009 all rejected his recipe. Well, Colonel Sanders developed what we know as Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's worth $8.5 billion today. Endurance. What makes all these guys different or set apart? They endured. John Wooden, John Osteen, James Dyson, Vincent Van Gogh, Colonel Sanders, they all endured. Every one of us have an endurance story. Every leader endures something. For me, it was growing up in poverty, growing up in an abusive family, growing up with a lot of lack, a lot of self-hurt, thoughts of suicide. I endured all that stuff. A lot of those things have made me who I am today. Endurance is defined as this: the ability to continue despite fatigue, stress, pain, or other adverse conditions. Let me say that again. Endurance is the ability to continue despite fatigue. Anybody ever been tired? Stress, overwhelmed, pain, some hurt that you've been through, or other adverse conditions. I love that the definition leaves in there, or other adverse conditions. In other words, adversity can come from any place and any space. It can come from any person, any situation. Adversity is not just one-dimensional. It comes from all kinds of places. And if you can recognize that adversity is going to come, but you ask God for the strength to endure when it comes, every leader can endure. I love this verse in Matthew 24:13. It says this: "But the one who endures to the end will be saved." The leader who endures to the end will be successful. I think you can say that too. The leader who keeps going, the leader who keeps pushing, the leader who pushes through the pain. We have this expression we say at our church very often: your pain, your past, your problems is a platform to your potential. Your pain, your past, your problems is a platform to your potential. Everything that you've ever been through, everything that you will ever go through is preparing you for the potential God has designed within you. Leaders need a higher capacity to endure. In fact, here's what I believe. If you can't endure, you might not be the leader you need to be. Let me say it again. If you can't endure, you might not be the leader you need to be. So my goal today is to encourage you with some keys to leadership endurance. So I'm going to share with you today 8 keys to an enduring leadership. All right, key number one is this: be effective. If you want to endure, you've got to be effective. What does effective mean? Effective just means you're adequate to accomplish a task. There's a lot of people who want to be the best. But in order to be the best, you got to first start with being effective. You got to be able to do the task that's in front of you. Now, most people are only effective at what they enjoy doing. But an enduring leader will be effective at what is put in front of them. So if your boss, your employer, your manager puts this project in front of you, you must be effective. You must be adequate to accomplish the task that's given to you. So if you want to endure, you want to have longevity in leadership, you must first be effective. Most people want to be the best before they're effective. You got to choose to be effective. And if you're effective, eventually you can be the best. Key number two: be efficient. Now, this is important in the process of enduring leadership. Efficiency is about being economical. In other words, you're going to be a good steward of the resources, the time, the gifts, the talents that you have, and you're going to steward them well, because if you can steward those and you're efficient, people will take notice. So, you know, when I look at budgets that are presented in our organization, I'll look at their last year's budget? Were they efficient? Did they misspend? Did they misapply money here that should have been over there? Were there some things I need to look at, some things that I need to realize? I want to make sure that they're being efficient, because if you're not being efficient, you may not be able to endure. For us as a church, you know, one of the things that we pride ourselves on is we've been good stewards. That's why God's given to us properties and release into us discounted properties. And people continue to be faithful because they see good stewardship. Enduring leadership is about being effective. Yes, you got to have that adequate to accomplish the task. You also must be efficient. You've got to be economical. You've got to do it with a stewardship mindset. You don't misspend money. You don't misapply money. You use the resources to help expand the mission of your organization, your church, your business, so you can accomplish the purpose that's put in front of you. So key number one, be effective. Key number two, be efficient. Key number three, be eloquent. What do I mean by that? I mean, be clear. There's a lot of leaders out there that are not clear about their vision. They're not clear about the objectives. They're not clear about their calling. And they wonder why people don't rally behind them and they can't endure the challenge, the difficulty, the process, life, the business deal, the property purchase, the renovation. They can't endure it because they're not eloquent enough. Eloquent. Here's an expression I say all the time. Be clear over clever. There's so many people that want to have words that rhyme, or like me, you'll start every principle with the same letter like we're doing on this episode. That's clear. All right, that's clever. If you can be clear and clever, that's great. If you're going to choose one, clear or clever, choose clear. You want people to understand what you are saying, communicating, believing, and the action you are trying to inspire them to. You can try and be creative, but if your creativity blocks clarity, people will not pursue and you won't be able to endure. So you want to be eloquent. So key number one is be effective. Key number two is be efficient. Key number three is be eloquent. And key number four, be encouraging. I mean, we need more encouragers today. In fact, the people that encourage me more are the people I bring closer to me. If you're not encouraging me, I keep you a little bit away from me, which means you may not endure our organization. The more encouraging you are to me, the more I bring you closer, because I need encouragement as a leader. A leader's capacity to endure is connected to their encouragement. So if I have a good staff around me that's encouraging to me, I'm going to want to keep them close. If I'm encouraging our staff, I'm telling them, you're great, you're amazing, also giving them correction and direction, but if I'm still encouraging them in the process, they're going to want to stay. They're going to endure some of the challenging conversations or the difficult environments that they're put in, because they also find encouragement. Encouragement is about lifting people's spirits. This whole world is so negative. Everybody seems to be negative on everybody. I mean, cancel culture, things that are difficult, challenging. People like to express their anger, their frustration to people that don't even know them. I choose to be encouraging. I want to lift people up. I want to find the good in everything. At the time of this recording, we found out that our house that we moved into about a year ago had a septic issue. Main line was ruptured. It's causing backup, poor flow, all that stuff. So that whole thing equates to about a $10,000 expense. I woke up. I was frustrated. Couldn't believe it. I'm telling God, God, I just sowed into this leader and I wanted to invest in them. And now we get this huge expense that's put in front of us. And God said to me, pretty clear in my heart, wasn't audible, said, look at your savings account. I looked, said, do you have money there? I said, yeah. I felt the Holy Spirit whisper, who put it there? You thought you put it there, but I put it there because I knew this moment would come. Wow. That one encouragement from God said, hey, it is what it is. I'm not going to get frustrated about it. I'm not going to get overwhelmed by it. Yes, we need the encouragement that comes from God, but we also need the encouragement that comes from other people. If you want to endure, you must be encouraging, because no one follows someone that's discouraging. They follow people that are encouraging. So key number one, be effective. Key number two, be efficient. In other words, be economical, be a good steward. Key number three, be eloquent, be clear over creative. Key number four, be encouraging, be uplifting, be the most positive voice in the room. Key number five, be empowering. You want to raise up and release leaders. There's a lot of people that like to hire leaders. I don't like to hire leaders. I like to see potential, raise them up, and release them to do ministry. I want to empower them to be effective. I worked on several church staffs, and many times my needs were cut out from me because I wasn't really given permission to lead. I was given permission to do. Catch that. Big difference. I wasn't given permission to be, I was given permission to do. In other words, it was task. It was get this done. I want it done this way. I wanted to be a leader. I wanted to be empowered to fulfill the duty you wanted me to do. I wanted to have permission to try some things and experiment. But many times, the experiments I would have, I'd have to pull back from because I wasn't empowered to lead. Now, our team at our church, our organization, we truly try and empower people to do what God's called them to do. So if I really honestly want to be able to honor God in every situation and every season, I must be empowering. Okay, key number one, be effective. In other words, I got to be adequate to accomplish the task in front of me. Key number two, be efficient, be a good steward. Key number three, be eloquent. Choose to be clear over creative. Key number four, be encouraging. Key number five, be empowering, raise up and release leaders. And key number six, be engaging. In other words, show your personality. Like I'm a very spunky or what our church calls a spicy preacher. I throw it out there. I share my personality. I share, sometimes I say things I'm like, oh, I can't believe I just said that. That is connected with people. People have actually connected with just my personality. Being engaging is about taking who you are and who God's designed you to be and being okay with that. In other words, I don't have to be somebody else. I don't have to be another preacher. I don't have to preach like this person. I don't have to lead like this person. I've got to be who God designed me to be. And if I can be who God designed me to be, and I make him happy, it doesn't matter who I make unhappy. But I still got to be engaging. So my personality has to be used, my drive, my passion, my desires. I want to be engaging with people. And so I know for me as a pastor, before and after almost every service, I would say it's every service, but I'm sure there's some that I miss. I go out and I greet people on the way in and the way out. My wife does the same thing. Our staff pastors do the same thing. Why? We want to engage people. Why? We won't endure long if we don't have people. So we have to have relationship with them, and that means we must be engaged. Now, me personally, I'm a little bit more of an introvert. I'm okay working on stuff privately. I have had to learn how to be an extrovert. I have had to learn that phone calls and emails and conversations are important to people because naturally, I'm driven to be alone. Like recording this, I'm all by myself. I'm in my office at home recording this episode, and I'm okay with that. Doesn't bother me. I don't need a crowd. A crowd doesn't excite me. What excites me is putting the right information in people's hands. Key number six, be engaging. Engage with the people that are in front of you, because if you engage with them, you will endure with them, and you will sometimes have to endure for them. Key number seven, be extraordinary. Go above and beyond in everything. Do things that other employees won't do. Make sure you are there early. You stay late. You go above. If you're asked to do this, do a little bit more than that. Always be extraordinary, extraordinary. Don't just be ordinary. Be a little extraordinary. Put a little bit more time in, a little bit more thought. If you thought 6 hours would work on that project, try seven. You might be able to actually even make it better than you even thought could be possible. Be extraordinary. Go way beyond expectations. Blow away your boss, your employer, your manager's expectations, and watch how they start to rely or depend on you. You'll endure a lot longer. Key number eight, be entrepreneurial. What do I mean by that? I literally mean take more risks. Entrepreneurs are risk takers. By nature, they take risks. The more risks you take, the more results you see. Let me say it again. The more risks you take, the more results you see. When's the last major risk you took? Ask yourself, am I a risk taker? If you're a risk taker, the more risk you take, the more results you see. If you're a risk taker, you will see more results in your life, your ministry, your organization, your business, wherever you find yourself. Risk is attached to results. And so you got to be a little bit more entrepreneurial because you want to set yourself apart from everybody else. Taking risks is vital. It's vitally important to what we're supposed to do in life and leadership. If you're not going to take those calculated risks, now you don't want to take foolish risks, but you take those calculated risks that you know could yield maximum results, you'll endure. We as a church, we opened early after COVID shut everybody down. We only closed for, I think, 5 or 6 weeks. We opened right back up. It was hard ground. It was hard motivating people to get back into church, but now we've seen God do some pretty crazy things. We had people leave our church because they thought we opened early. We had people leave our church because they thought we should have never closed. Now we're looking and saying, hey, we took a risk. We're back in. Now we're 2.5 years past that, and we're seeing how God's actually doing what God does all the time. He builds the church. We took a risk. Result happened. We're stronger, bigger, more income than we had pre-pandemic. That's what happens when you take risks. If you take the right risks, you get the right results. If you get the right results, you endure a lot longer than many others. Key number one, be effective. Key number two, be efficient. Key number three, be eloquent. Key number four, be encouraging. Key number five, be empowering. Key number six, be engaging. Key number seven, be extraordinary. And key number eight, be entrepreneurial. Take more risks. I think those keys will unlock a leader's endurance, and you will take your life to a level you could never imagine in your wildest dreams. In 1954, this individual wanted to be a singer, but he was driving a truck. His first appearance, where he played his music, he was told by Jimmy Penny, the manager of the Grand Ole Opry, you ain't going anywhere, son. You ought to go back to driving a truck. Who is it? Elvis Presley. You ever heard of the manager at the Grand Ole Opry? No, but you have heard of Elvis Presley. Why? Because he chose to endure. If you endure, your legacy will impact not just your life while you're here, but generations and generations to come after your life here on earth is complete. Here's my prayer. God, make all of us leaders that endure, whether in church, in business, management, CEOs, barista, stay-at-home mom, whatever God has called us to do, may we endure, because the leader who endures to the end will find success.
Wow, that was so awesome. If you enjoyed today's teaching, why don't you go ahead and hit that subscribe button and share it with a friend. While you're at it, follow Todd R. Bishop on all social media platforms. And hey, head to toddbishop.tv to check out all the events we have going on. We'll see you next episode, where we unleash the leader in you.